From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block, and it's time now for All Tech Considered. We have been reporting daily on the extensive damage caused by the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. One piece of the country's infrastructure that survived relatively intact is the internet. In fact, just hours after disaster struck, Japanese volunteers in Tokyo were able to jump online and map hazard zones and emergency services across the country. NPR's Shireen Marisol Meraji reports on how this kind of crisis mapping, as it's called, has become increasingly popular in just a few years.
If you type in the web address shinsai.info, that's S-I-N-S-A-I.info, you'll see a map of Japan with giant red dots on it. Each dot corresponds to a different region of the country. The numbers within the dots correspond to reports from that region. Now, if you click on a red dot closest to Sendai, where much of the devastation occurred, you'll find a lot of info in Japanese. There's a translate button, but it's pretty bad. So I asked NPR's resident Japanese speaker, intern Ryan Brooks, to come down to the newsroom and help me get a sense of what's there.
There's all kinds of stuff. Some are confirmations of radio stations that are broadcasting information that everybody needs, train stations that are acting as shelters. This is just someone's house, just saying, hey, you know, if you need help and you're in the area, we're extending it to you. This is pretty incredible, actually. Oh, this one's got a picture with a baby. The description of the mother and the child, both of whom were lost.
An average of 433 updates a day have been posted to the Japan crisis map since the earthquake and tsunami. Mapping volunteers and government employees in Japan are doing this with free, open-source software called Ushahidi. NPR social media strategist Andy Carvin says the Ushahidi website has only been around for about 3 years.
Back in 2008, they created a map to document ethnic violence in Kenya, and they also did similar things in other parts of Africa. And it's been used during a number of crises around the world to document a whole range of problems, everything from as big as the Haiti earthquake to things as relatively small as snowstorms in Washington, D.C.
The Haiti crisis map was primarily used by international aid organizations. That's also true now for the Libyan crisis maps, because so many people there don't have access to the internet. But in tech-savvy Japan, a majority of the crisis map volunteers and consumers are Japanese. A Japanese cell phone operator even promised to lend thousands of smartphones to volunteers eager to help.
You have that kind of spirit and that kind of optimism in the face of tragedy.
Ushahidi's director of crisis mapping, Patrick Meyer.
Coupled with the savviness that Japanese people have in using these kinds of new, innovative mobile technologies, I think we have something quite powerful here that could really make a deep difference.
NPR's social media strategist, Andy Carvin, says it might make a deep difference in Japan, but things are murky when it comes to Libya.
When you post information on a humanitarian map, the worst it could be is just wrong and maybe waste a person's time. But if you put wrong information on a war-related map, you could be putting people's lives at risk. And this is one of the first times that I'm aware of where we've been able to see these social mapping projects happen at the same time and get a sense of how the dynamics are different.
Future crisis mappers can draw on lessons learned because these maps usually live online long after a crisis has come to an end. Shireen Marisol Meraji, NPR News.